As you know, I plan on this whole year preaching one sermon all year long. I'm, by the grace of God, I'm into it like 4 weeks now. And, you know, got the same title and or the same concept, different title. Well, the concept that we're talking about this year, as God wills, is the kingdom mentality, the kingdom of God. That there is a real kingdom of light, there's a real kingdom of darkness, right? There's a real kingdom of blessing, and there's a real kingdom that you will be cast out into if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And today, as we're into this, it's having a kingdom mindset. Having a kingdom mindset. Where's your mind at? What do you think about? As I was going over some scripture and stuff, I came across an old quote, and I'm going to use it. This is from one of my favorite Bible scholars. His name is Matthew Pooley. He wrote this around 1652, so it's pretty modern for my standards, anyhow. 1652. And he said, having a kingdom mindset is a fixed mental attitude or dispensation ruled by God. All right? A fixed mental attitude or a dispensation that's ruled by God, governed by God's perspective. It is working out the will of God for His purposes, for His plans, to complete His desire. That's a kingdom mindset. All right? Having the mind of Christ, having this idea that there's something more in this world than what we see right here. There is a better place. Amen? There is a greater deal than what we have right here. And I don't know about you, the more I'm looking into this, the more excited I am to get out of here. Praise God, God gave us some beautiful things to look at here on this earth, but He's got better things for us in heaven waiting. There's a kingdom there that is much greater than any kingdom, anything that this world has to offer. There's a hope there that can't be found here. There's a grace there that can't be found here. There's a love there that can't be found here. There's a fellowship there, alright? There's a fellowship in the kingdom that we don't have here. And I can't wait to get there. Amen. So I'm going to do what I can to get there. As Jesus has been teaching, and the more I look into Jesus' teaching, and actually going through the whole Bible, I'm finding this concept of the kingdom all the way through Genesis to the Revelation. If you look into it and you really read it, and you have this kingdom in the back of your head, and you're thinking about that God created all these things to remind us there's a better place to go to. This idea that there's something greater, there's something more. You were made in the image and the likeness of God, and there's a yearning inside of me to get there. I want to. Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place, right? I want to go there. I want to get to wherever He has prepared that place. Whatever I have to do in this physical form to get there, I am willing to do it. And it starts with salvation. It starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And saying, God, I need You more than I need myself. I want Your will in me more than I want my will out here. Lord, work in me. Sanctify me. Make me holy because I am not. That simple confession. And asking Him to be your Lord. Asking Him to come and to rule and to reign in your heart. Step one of the kingdom. All right? That's the first step of the kingdom. Coming into that. And as Jesus was teaching in Matthew 5, and we went over this a couple weeks ago, so I'm just going to kind of brush across it real quick. This is the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes, if you will. Jesus started His teaching after the baptism of John, and He came and said, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After this, He called the folks together, and He went to a mountain. He started preaching and teaching these things. And in a quick overview of it, he said it like this, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those people. Joyful are those people. Joyful or blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, when you just look at that little bit, that very starting of the blessings on the Sermon on the Mount, we're saying, have this kingdom mindset. Start thinking about it this way. I want to be poor in spirit that I can achieve the kingdom, right? Blessed, happy, joyful. I am because I have a promise in the kingdom. I can be joyful no matter what is happening here. I'm poor in spirit. I don't have a lot, but I have a promise from God. When I am mourning and I feel the weight of the world on me here, I can rejoice because I have a kingdom promised to me through Jesus Christ, all right? I can be meek. When I hunger and thirst after righteousness, man, when you get that, you can start having this idea, I want the righteousness of God that I might achieve the kingdom. Do you see where Jesus is teaching in this? And he keeps talking about it and going on further on. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hey, when people don't like you because you stand up for Jesus Christ, praise God! You got a reward for that. He says, you got a kingdom in heaven. Be happy. Be joyful that they don't like you here on this earth because you've got a kingdom mindset. I'm here on this earth, but I'm not part of this earth. I got a better home. I got a better hope. I got a better a place to go than what I'm trapped in here. Amen?
Amen.
So if they hate me for His righteousness' sake, praise God. Woo-hoo!
Amen.
Yeah. Jesus said, I got a kingdom waiting for me. It's okay. You don't like me? That's okay. That is perfectly fine. But make sure you don't like me because I have the righteousness of God. As he goes on and keeps on saying, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. So when they're saying all manner of evil against you, make sure it's false. Right? If they're saying things evil against you and you're doing it, you probably deserve it, all right? And so when they say all those things, make sure it's falsely. And it's for the sake of Jesus Christ, for His sake. When they persecute me, when they say all evil against me, it's for His sake, not for my sake. He says in verse 12 there of chapter 5, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Do you catch what he's talking about there? Do you see the kingdom mindset that he's putting out to the people there? It's more than just, oh, I'm so meek, I'm so poor, blessed am I. No, I'm blessed not because of what the world's doing to me. I'm blessed because I got a kingdom, right? I'm part of a kingdom. I'm part of something better and bigger and greater than what I am. I got more reward in heaven than I'll ever have on this earth.
Okay.
I'm blessed. I'm joyful. I'm happy. I got this thing on the inside of me. It's the image and the likeness of God and a hope for the eternal with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So I can be happy.
Amen.
I don't have to let this stuff bother me. Don't bother
Amen.
Me. Shoe fly. Don't bother me. Right? He says, keep the kingdom mindset in your head always, as Jesus was teaching in those verses from 3 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. And he says, when we suffer, all right, when we suffer in this life, who here is suffering a little bit? All right? You know, it could get worse before it gets better. But I got good news for you. It's going to get better. All right?
Mm-hmm.
May not get better in this life. It may not. I know folks that suffer, and they suffer from the day that they're born to the day that they die. All right? And it looks like nothing ever goes their way. It looks like just Sergeant Sad Sack. Oh, poor boy. But when they have that kingdom mindset, it's okay. It is all right. Because I know that this short time, this life that I have is but a vapor. And when this vapor is through, I got a promise in God. I have a place to go. So I can rejoice in my suffering because I know I have a kingdom that's waiting for me, that's being prepared for me. All right, this is the kingdom and the relief that is found in Him knowing it. So what to do while we're here on the earth, all right? Jesus answers this. We as the church, and he's still in Matthew there, as the church, he tells us to be a couple things. Salt and light. All right? Now, we're in this world, and who really feels like shining all the time? I sure don't. A lot of time my light has gone dim. But what did Jesus tell me to be? Light. All right? Sometimes I don't feel like we were going over the what charity, what love really is in Sunday school this morning. And we were going through love is this, charity is this, and we were finding out how short I come from all of those things. Right? I do not hit the mark. I'm missing it 99% of the time. You know, to be honest, maybe 99.9% of the time. There might be some time I might hit on some of it, but most of the time I miss. I know that George here, he hits it all the time. He's like that guy who goes over in the fair, and there's that dingy thing you hit with a sledgehammer. He just does a ding, ding, ding. He's just there all the time. I just lied to you, and so he's not there. But God, He tells us to be salt and light and giving glory to our Father, which is in heaven, while we're on this earth. Why? Because this earth is full of darkness. This earth is full of hurt. This earth is full of pain. This earth, this world system, is tasteless. I mean, there's really nothing good that happens here. I mean, maybe short of just loving one another, you look at it. Now, there's coming a time when the kingdom comes, right? There'll be some good things happening on this earth. But because of sin, nothing really good happens, right? The deepness of it, except for your relationship and your knowledge of the kingdom, outside of that, I don't find a whole lot to be joyful about. I might be joyful for a short time because of a baby being born or someone turning 100 years old or, you know, something, but that joy is fading. It comes a little while and it goes, right? The baby's great until it wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? That's like, anyhow. We need to have, because this world is dark, we need to be light, the light of God. Because this world is really flavorless, it doesn't have any real goodness, we're called to be salt in the midst of this world. And to do that and keep it in our thoughts and our mind, we need to always have this kingdom mindset. This kingdom mindset. See, the reason I can remain tasteful in this world, I know that I got a better place. I got a grand chef that's putting the right stuff in me, right? I can be tasteful. I can be the salt in a dead, tasteless world because the Spirit of God is dwelling in me. And I have a hope that goes beyond this world right here. I have a hope in Christ Jesus. I have a hope. He says He's preparing me a place, and someday I'm going to be with Him there. So no matter what this world throws at me, no matter what kind of septic tank I feel like I'm in today, I have a hope in Jesus Christ. Right? I have a hope. It doesn't matter how bad things are here, because things will get better someday. Right? They will get better. It is going to improve. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, and as I was going over Hebrews chapter 10 and thinking about the kingdom, because I told you, you can find the kingdom throughout the whole Word of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll flip over there with me, we'll start reading in about 19, and we'll end up at the end of the chapter in 39. I might skip through some of it for time, okay? Now, with the kingdom mindset, verse 19 of chapter 10. You there? Say amen when you get there. Say it louder because I can't hear you.
Amen.
Say it loud! No! I'm sorry. Yeah. Can you tell that I drank a lot of coffee this morning? I did. I'm like, I got like caffeine running through my veins. And so, having therefore, brothers, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Now, how can I enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ? What did Jesus do on the cross? He died. What happened when He died?
He rose again.
But what happened when He died? What was in the temple that separated the holy from the holiest? There was a veil there. There was a big sheet there. And when Jesus died, He ripped that sheet from the top to the bottom. Now, when I'm talking about a sheet, don't think about your fitted sheet. This thing was about 3 foot thick, 3 foot thick, and about 30 feet tall. Okay, we're talking about a serious piece of garment. Right? And when Jesus died, He said, it is finished. That veil, that separation between the holy place and the holiest of all, it tore down the center. It ripped right in half. And Jesus made a way into the holiest place of all of Israel by His death. Right? When He died, He said, it is finished. There's an earthquake. And in that earthquake, in that separation ripped, it tore right down the middle. So now there's a way. So I can come from the holy place into the most holy place of God. I can get right in there to the throne of mercy. I can come right up to the covenant. I can come to the very place, the Ark of the Covenant, where the seraphim are bending over and they're touching each other's wings. I can get there right in the very essence, in the very center of God, in the kingdom, because of what Jesus did on the cross. He made a way where there was no way. No man could get into that place. In the Hebrew custom, you could not go there except one man once a year, and you better make sure that you were pure and clean, because if you had sin and you were the high priest of the year, you had sin in your heart, you went in there, you might die. By lore, and I don't know if this is true, but by lore, what I have heard is that they would tie a rope on the high priest's foot. So when he went in there, if he offered unclean sacrifices and he died, they could drag him out. Scary thought, you know. So in here it says, in that very first place, in this kingdom mindset, I can boldly enter to the holiest place because of the kingdom that God opened up for me through Jesus Christ. I can come into the most sanctified place that God has because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 20, by the new and the living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near, okay? This kingdom mindset, are you drawing near? Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the perfection of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're going to read the rest of that here in a minute. But in this kingdom mindset, okay, what am I supposed to do? First, I ought to know that I can come into the very, because I belong to the kingdom, I belong to the King. I have a spot there. You know where I can go? Right to the very presence of God. I can come right to His presence. If you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what He says you can do? You can come right into the very essence of the Most High God. And you can bear your heart to Him. Because He cares for you. He died for you. He rose from the grave for you. And He said, if you will trust Me, I've prepared you a place. That's what Jesus said, right? Remember? In John 14, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I'm going to come again and I'm going to get you, you little rascal. I'm going to get you. That where I am, you can be there also. In the holiest of all places. In the very presence of God. And now you dirty, rotten sinner, and I'm pointing at me with the other four fingers here, us dirty, rotten sinners, unworthy to get to the holiest place of God, now can come in. Why? Because you've been washed by the water of Word. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white as snow. Amen? And so because you are unworthy and He was worthy, He made a way that you could get into the very presence, into the essence of the Most High. Is anyone happy about that? I am happy about that. I am excited that someday I'm going to be there. And not someday. I can go there right now with my burdens. I can go there right now with all the weight and the junk and the garbage of this world and the septic tank that I live in Scottsville, Caledonia, or wherever you live in New York, where they kill more babies every year than any other state in the nation. Do you know that? Learned that yesterday. You know that New York? Well, it was 1 in 5, right?
Yeah.
1 in 5 babies in New York are killed before they come out of the womb. 1 in 5. Yeah. When I heard the statistics on this, it blew my mind. But anyhow, that's beside the point. They're in the kingdom. Amen. The little babies, but still. Yeah, but they're there. But you can get there too. You know? And those women that have been caught up in that, we need to offer them hope and not condemnation. But that's a different sermon for a different day. Now, as we have this kingdom mindset, we're not supposed to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. You know that? You ought to be coming to church. How often? You said it, sister. Amen. Say it loud that they all can hear you.
Every time the doors are open.
Okay, when are you supposed to come to church? Okay, guess what time the doors open this morning? That's when I got here because I had to pray over this stuff. But we actually start service around 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay? On Sunday morning. When are you supposed to be at church? No? Well, every time the doors are open, right? Every time the doors open. All right? Anyhow, I'm not going to beat that horse anymore. I love you, and come when you can. But anytime you can, come. All right? And anytime you think you can't, come anyhow. Because there's something here for you. Anyway, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. All right, now catch this out. We need to come together. Why? It says right here. Go, you can read it with me. Forsaking not as the others, but exhorting. What does that mean? Exhorting.
Encouraging.
How can I lift you up if you ain't here? How can you lift me up if I ain't here? Right? I can't get you up if I got... What am I lifting? Air. All right? But if you're here, man, I can lift your arm up, right? I got those folks who came along beside Moses when he was too tired to hold his arms up. Who were they? Joshua and the other guy. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb. Thank you. Moses was praying, and they were in a great battle. And his arms were getting tired from holding them up. The longer he held up his arms, the more that Israel won. And so as his arms started falling, Caleb came to one side and lifted an arm up, helped him out. Joshua, not you, but the other Joshua, the good one in the Bible, he came and lifted the other one up. All right? And as long as Moses' hands were able to be held up, they won the fight. Amen? They won the fight. Now, if you're not here, how can I hold your arms up when you're in the midst of the battle? If I'm not here, how can you hold my arms up when I'm in the midst of the battle? Even though I got a kingdom mindset, I know who I am in Jesus Christ, I still am here in this dark, nasty world, and I need you and you need me. So forsake not yourselves, the assembly one to another, as you see the day approaching. Let me ask you this real quick. Do you see the kingdom approaching?
Yes, amen.
Amen? You see the day approaching?
Praise
right? All right. We have another Sunday morning coming next week. You know, we got men's Bible study on Tuesdays. We got women's Bible study on Mondays. We have a midweek service. Y'all know that we have a midweek service?
Yeah.
Amen. Right? We have the Bible is preached on all of them. Right? And we come together and we support one another. We build each other up. We talk about God and the kingdom. And then we love one another. Amen? Some of us come just fresh out of the cow pasture. And they may not smell good. You know, but that's okay. We love them anyhow. Right? We don't tell them to go to an utter place. We let them come right on in. Why? Because we love you. We want you to be here. So anyhow, having this kingdom mindset. Hey, see, if you can't get the kingdom mindset hanging around Christians here, you're going to feel real bad when you get to heaven. Because guess what? Only Christians are going to be there.
That's right.
Right? You don't want to hang around Christians here on the earth. I don't want to hang around y'all. Y'all believe about it too much. You're too stuffy. It's not comfortable for me. Well, how are you going to feel when you're in the kingdom? And there ain't nothing but Bible thumpers up there. You know? Right? You don't like it here, you're going to really be miserable if you get there. So you better start liking it here. As you see the day approaching. I know the days, we are closer today than we were yesterday. As he keeps on saying, now keeping the kingdom in mind, all right, you've been born again, you've tasted the goodness of God. And he says in verse 26, and this is a warning to the body of Christ. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. All right, that probably makes some of you mad. Good. I hope it stirred up your soul so much you're going to do something about it. Amen? I hope that you do, as we keep on reading, verse 27, but a certain and fearful looking for the judgment and the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant, the Mizah, the blood of the covenant, which wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We know that Jesus, that God said, now this kingdom mindset, we keep it in the kingdom here, for we know him that hath said, vengeance is mine, behold, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense or I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All right, did you hear that? It's a fearful thing, church, for you to fall into the hands of judgment of the living God. Everybody says, I ain't going to fear God. God's all love. He's all good. It's like unicorns and rainbows. Every time I'm around him, it's like Lucky Charms. Right? No, it's not. Listen, if you're turning away from God, you lose that mindset of the kingdom, or you have it somewhere in you, but you're really not wanting it, you're going to be judged. All of us are going to be judged. Not just you, it's me. That's why we need to have this mindset of the kingdom before us all the time. Never lose sight of the kingdom. I am going to stand before God and he is going to judge me. He is. The Bible says by every word that comes out of my mouth. That scares me. He tells me that if I teach the Bible wrong, I'm going to be holded in a higher accountability than other people. That's why I'm here at 5 o'clock in the morning on my face before the Lord. And I pray for 2 or 3 hours. Y'all may not believe it, but I'm normally right here, and George leaves his blanket out for me most of the time. So I come right here before the altar, and I call your names out, and I weep for you, all right? Buddy, I grab a hold of the skirt of God for your rotten soul. Amen? Because I love you. I don't want you to come short of any spiritual gift. Anyhow. That's that kingdom mindset. I know that I can come into the very holiest place because of Jesus Christ. And this warning, if we sin willfully, if we know about the kingdom and we turn away from it, we know about the kingdom of God, we know about His goodness, we know about His grace, and we turn away from that, there's no recompense for sin. Don't turn away from the kingdom. Don't turn your back on what Jesus has done for you. Don't go back to the world. You know, a dog goes back to his vomit. Right? Don't do it. A sow returns to the mire. What are you? Are you a Christian, a dog, or a sow? Born again or not? Got a kingdom mindset, or you got a worldly mindset? I would rather have the things of this world than all the grace of God. A lot of people have that mindset, you know. I would rather have the things of this little itty-bitty time and space, this vapor that we're stuck in, than all the glory that God has for me. Anyhow, I told you we're going to go to 39. I got caught up here. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, all right, if you have turned away from God, recall that time. Recall when you were walking with Him and you were close with the Lord, when you were illuminated, when you were in the light as He is in the light, when you were illuminated, when the lights were on and you were excited for the kingdom, and remember that day and come back to it. call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and the afflictions, and partly whilst ye became the companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. He's talking about himself here. So anyhow, let's take 32 and 33 real quick. If you've been slipping away in your mindset from the kingdom, you've been getting out of this mindset, remember the old days when you were in love with the Lord. Remember when you first got saved? How excited were you? How many people did you agitate? Amen? Boy, I was Steve, you know this. George, I remember you when you were on, you're still on fire, but I remember when you were a glowing hot ember. I mean, white hot. You couldn't get around that guy without the Holy Ghost burning you. Same with you, Steve. I remember those days. Made a lot of people mad. Made a lot of darkness run away, but that's okay. You know, you were on fire. Remember when you were illuminated that way? How about it? Y'all remember those days? Do you want it back? You can get it back. You know how? Get that kingdom mindset. Remember where you're going, not where you're at. All right? Remember that this trial for this little bit of time that you're here is not worthy to be counted for the glory that you're going to receive someday. Think about the persecution that because you were on fire and you loved people and you wanted them to go to heaven so much that you were in their face. Repent, you sinner, and sin no more, right? You're talking to them about the Bible. You're showing them the goodness and the grace of God. Look here, look in my Bible. Let me show you what the Bible says. Remember when you were on fire like that. The world didn't like you. Because the world didn't like you, kind of like taking a fire and dumping a cup of water on it. Now, it didn't put it out all the way, but it did cool it off. How do you rekindle a fire? Put more fuel on it and blow on it. Amen? Right? You need more fuel. You need to get thinking again about the kingdom of God. You need to put that fuel back in you. And then you need to ask the Holy Spirit, come and blow across my deadening coals. Make me alive again. Put in me this fervent desire to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of heaven to all men. Not just right now, but for every day. I'm still on my first page of notes. I got four of these. It's 12 o'clock. We're not getting through it. Okay? But I'm not going to stop. Okay. All right. Can you tell I'm sweating? Boy, I want to. It's not the coffee. I think this is the Holy Ghost got a hold of my socks this morning, pulled them over my head. That's just mine. This kingdom of God. Who cares if they made us a gazing stock? I don't care if they look at me and gaze at me.
Look at that crazy bow-legged pastor telling me about Jesus again. That's okay. Make fun of me. That's cool.
But remember who you're making fun of me for. You're making fun of me because I trust Jesus Christ. Oh, it says that I'll be blessed? Oh, wait, what did it say there? When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So if they're gazing at you and they're making fun of you, that's okay. I have a kingdom mindset. And if you hate me to the point of death, right? You hate me that much? Go ahead, send me home early. Yeah, you know, really and truly. Send me home early. It's okay. It's okay. If they come in for some reason, Ascio Cortez or Accio Cortez or whatever, or Bernie Sanders or one of those weirdos get elected president this next go around, and they come in and they say, I can no longer preach the gospel, and I keep preaching the gospel, and they come and lock me up and chain me to the monument in Caledonia and beat me with sticks. Praise God!
That's right.
I hope it's in January and I'm in my BBDs. All right? And I freeze to death out there. It is okay because I got a kingdom mindset. I don't care if you don't like me. In fact, if you don't know the Lord, you probably don't like me anyhow. If your family hates you because you love the Lord, that's okay. It's expected. Jesus said so. Have the kingdom mindset. Tell them about the kingdom anyhow. Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews this. The writer keeps writing here. Verse 34. For you had compassion on me in my bonds. He's talking about how the church loved him. and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better, enduring substance. Thank you. You got better stuff in heaven. All right. So you help somebody down here with what you got, and you end up with nothing down here. That's okay. You got something better in heaven. Made that southern so we could understand it because I can't read big words. Anyhow, but cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't lose faith, which hath a great reward or recompense of reward, a promise of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. When do you receive the promise? After you have done the will of God. What is the will of God? Next page. For a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's good to know. Who's going to come? Jesus. He's coming back. When's he going to come? Doesn't matter. He will not tarry. He will come. You don't need to know the day or the hour. Have faith in this. He's made a kingdom for you. He said, I'm going to come back and you're going to be with me. Doesn't matter if he comes tomorrow or 400 years down the road. It's all right. Put up with the stuff on this earth right now. Put up with those who hate you right now. Put up with the hardships right now because I got a reward in heaven waiting for me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now chill out and don't worry about it. That's what I'm making it American. We're talking American here, all right? Verse 38. For the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay, what did he just say? If any man draws back, what does draw back mean?
Step away.
Retreat. If any man leaves the fight, if any man stops believing, God said through the Word, says, I will have no pleasure in him. Do you want to have the pleasure of God or not?
Yes.
So are you on charge mode right now or are you in retreat mode?
Charge.
Charge. All right, that's a racing charge. What's the one? I don't know. I'm not a trumpeter. I'm not a bugler. Verse 39. But we are not of them. Now, pray. I hope that you're here. We are not of them who draw back into destruction or perdition. We are not those who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. All right? That's got past the first, not quite past the first page. All right, so this is the mindset of Christ. All right? It's to persevere, to push through. Right? I'm not going to draw back. I've come this far by faith, and by faith I'm going to continue the race. I'm going to run until I cannot, until there's no life, no juice left in me. And I'm going to push forward to the high call of Christ for as long as I have breath in me. Why? Because of the reward of the kingdom. I have a hope that I have a faith. I have a hope that I cannot see yet. All right, but I know it's there. Right? He told us that in Hebrews 11. We need not. Real quick. Now, faith is the substance of those things hoped for, and is the evidence of those things not seen. Amen? So I know I have not seen the kingdom, but I've heard about the kingdom. I've not been there myself, but I know that I can go there. I know that I can come into the holiest of holies because of what Jesus Christ did for me, right? I know that I can get there. Not by my will, but His will who sent me, who empowered me, who empowers you, because it ain't all about me. If you're born again, you can get there too. If you don't turn back. Right? So don't turn back. Persevere. I want to be found in good pleasure of the Lord. Amen? I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear you unjust, unfruitful, coward, fearful. Lord, I'd love to tell people about the kingdom, but I'm afraid of what they're saying. Right? I'd love to tell people about Jesus Christ, but I know if I do, they're not going to like me. I would love to choose you over anything else of this world. Oh, but I'm afraid when I do that, I might have to do something. might have to give up something I really love. Wow. To be your disciple, Jesus, to have this mindset, you mean I gotta love you more than I love my mommy, my daddy, my kids, my wife, and yes, even myself. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than these, you can't even be my disciple. Gut punch. Right? Good. Maybe we need to be punched in the gut to get our eyes open to the reality of it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I could go through the whole thing, but we're going to focus on verse 5. Amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Jesus had the kingdom mindset. He knew who he was in the kingdom, right? He knew that he was God in human form. He knew that. He was equal with God, the same. Equal means equal, right? I mean, I didn't go through a lot of schooling, but I know one digit plus another digit with those two little lines that are parallel to each other is the equal sign. It's equal to it. That's this and this make that. Jesus and God are equal. They are one and the same. They're equal. Right? Now, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, but what he did, he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Why? Because he knew who he was in Jesus Christ, in the kingdom. He knew who he was in the kingdom. See, I don't have to be anybody here. I don't have to have you like me. Right? I don't need that. You know why? I know who I am in Christ. I know that Christ is in the Father and I am in Jesus. So where Jesus is, guess where I'm at? I'm there. I'm there with Him. I'm in the kingdom. I might be physically here right now, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I will be called up someday. Amen? Whether I'll die right here, fall off this stage one day talking like an idiot, and I'll fall down, I'll break my neck, or by the grace of God, I hope I'm 120 behind the pulpit just like this, and I'm preaching and my heart just stops. Or even better than that, I hope that I'm young like I am now, cute, 60 years old, right? Not quite, but I'm coming close. And all of a sudden, I just die and my spirit goes to heaven, right? I just leave. Wouldn't that be cool? Man, I wonder how many of y'all will go with me. How many will be left behind? Between you and God, none of my business. Being in the form, he was fashioned in human flesh. And verse 8 says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Right? You might know me as Curtis the Scoundrel right now. That might be what you call me, that dirty, rotten scoundrel. He ain't good for nothing. He's worse than spit on a winter's day. That's okay. In God, I am somebody. In the kingdom, I am somebody. I got a new name. Amen? You can call me what you want to here, but in heaven, I got a new name. I got a new identity. I am seated, and they call me the child of the living God. In heaven, in the kingdom, that's what I'm known as. I would say his favorite one, but he might like Mike more than me. Maybe not. But yeah. Okay. You know that Jesus never did anything without the kingdom in mind. Everything that he did, the kingdom was in sight. He always kept that. In John chapter 6, verses 38 and 39. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him whom sent me. Who sent me? And this is the will, this is the Father's will which sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing but raise them up again on the last day. Tells us a lot in that little scripture right there. Those who are supposed to be with Jesus, guess what? You're going to be here. You're going to be here. Jesus said, I ain't lost nothing. You know, I came to do the will of the Father. And if you're supposed to be with me, guess what? You're going to be there. Now, that does not mean that I don't have a responsibility while I'm here. Right? While I'm here, I got to have that mindset of the kingdom. While I'm here, I got to be reminding other people that there's a kingdom better than this kingdom. Right? There's a greater place, a greater need, something much bigger than what we can comprehend right now. But by faith, I see it afar. All right? By faith, I know it's coming. And I know, and this is how I know. My soul is connected to His soul. When I pray, when I ask Him, when I seek Him, I find Him. Right? He has already found me. Right? He found me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me. Before I got better, I got God. And when I got God, I got better. Right? He looked me, He sought me out. And He said, you stinking little worm, Curtis, I love you. I love you. You little worm, I love you. That's what He said to you. You, Joe. He said that to you. He said, I love you, you little worm. He loves you. George, you're a big worm. He loves you. And He wants you to know Him. And He wants you to know the kingdom. I was really wanting to get to the revelation about the kingdom coming down. But I love you so much, I'm going to leave you with a cliffhanger. You got to come back next week. Or next bat time, next bat channel. You want to hear the rest of this sermon? You got to come back. You got something?
10 and 11.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Philippians chapter 2.
Yep. Read it. And so I stopped right down at 9. Go ahead. You got it in your fingers.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That at the name of
Jesus
every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Yes. Amen. Kind of seals it up, doesn't it? That's a good place, because I plan on going to the Revelation. That's a great place to stop right there. Right? I like it when God takes my comma and turns it into a period or an explanation. Folks, I love you. I absolutely love you. And I want you to make it. I want you to have that kingdom mindset. I want you there. Not as much as Jesus wants you there, but I want you there. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is how you do it. All right? This is what you got to do. Believe in your heart. Confess Him with your mouth. And you shall be saved. Now that belief is more than just a verbal belief, because the Bible talks, they draw near to me, nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You've got to have that faith that changes things. You've got to have a belief that will form you, that will help to form you, sanctify you into the image of the Most High God. To get you in the kingdom clothes. Once we start talking about the parables, you're going to find one of the parables about the king who had a dinner. He went out and he asked some folks to come. They couldn't come. Then he told them to go to highways and byways, and they got some. But one of the guys came to the dinner and he wasn't dressed properly. He didn't have the kingdom clothes on. So you've got to have the kingdom clothes to be welcome into the kingdom. Different sermon and a different time. As for today, I want to tell you how to get dressed. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. If you're not born again, if you've never trusted Him, and I mean really poured your heart into Him, or if you trusted Him and you walked away, you went back to the world. All right, you're in the swine's den right now, and you're eating the husk. right? Or you're back eating the same vomit that you came out of. Stop it. Come back to the Father, right? And once you make that turn and you start coming back to Him, He will see you afar off. And He will meet you. Draw near to Me and I will draw near to you, the Scripture says. If you are a Christian and you've been living in the world and you're tired, you're sick and tired of it, right? It's time to come back because the kingdom is waiting for you. Repent. Trust in the Lord. His righteousness, not yours. Oh, He loves you. He's prepared a place for you. And if you don't make it, it's your fault. He did everything for you. As they nailed Him to the cross, as they spit on Him and ripped His beard out, He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then He gave up the ghost. And that veil tore in the temple. And He made a way into the holiest of all places, the Holy of Holies, that anybody who would come could come. There's no veil anymore. So if you want it, you can have it. If you want the kingdom, it's available for you. Dear Father, I thank You. Holy Spirit of God, I see You working. I know that You're here. I know that You're touching hearts. Lord, I pray that You would continue keep this fire burning. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit and blow across the deadening coals of our hearts, Father, and make that fire alive again. Oh, take away my heart of stone and give me that heart of flesh. Oh, Father, fill us. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Help us to see the kingdom. And we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.